And well, very good morning to all of you this morning. I hope you enjoyed the aerobics class, which is an ongoing feature in the church, I think. You just get to see your age at these times, I think. So, a very warm welcome to all of you this morning. And let me just begin this morning just with a recap of the series that we're doing at the moment. So, last week, Trudy began our series, Turning Points, in the book of Acts. And she began with chapter 3, and we were looking at the Holy Spirit and the way that he wants to interrupt our ordinary, everyday lives and turn us in a new direction. And Trudy was just highlighting the importance of noticing others around us in our everyday lives and also being sensitive to Jesus. And as we step out of our own comfort zones, Trudy was speaking about how not only do we see other people change, but we also ourselves get changed in that process as well. And she left us at the end with a real invitation from the Lord, come walk with me. So this week, we're going to move on to Acts chapter 8. And for those of you who aren't familiar with the book of Acts, the book of Acts is a book in the Bible that tells us about the early history of the Christian church. And we're going to see a major turning point this morning that happens in the church in Acts chapter 8, where the church faces severe persecution. And what we're going to see is this, that the church's crisis was not the church's conclusion. So, a little bit more background. Luke, he writes two books that are in the Bible, in the New Testament. And they're essentially one book with two parts. One of them is called the Gospel of Luke, and the other is called the Book of Acts. The Gospel is what Luke says Jesus began to do. And the Book of Acts is what the risen Jesus continues to do. I really want us to have that in focus this morning, that the book of Acts is about the continuing work of Jesus. And that work by his Spirit and through his people. But the amazing thing about the book of Acts is that the story about the ongoing continuing work of Jesus doesn't end in the book of Acts. I think we could probably say a hallelujah to that, because that's why many of us are here this morning, because the story of Jesus has continued. And the risen Jesus, he is still acting, he is still calling, he is still speaking, and he is still building his church. And as Anne brought out this morning in her prayer, I think we can say hallelujah to that this morning. So the same Christ of the book of Acts is the Christ who is this morning among us, even in this room. So, we're going to look at how Jesus takes a crisis in the church, and instead of this crisis being a full stop in the church, instead it becomes a comma, and Jesus turns the page. So maybe this morning you've arrived on this lovely Sunday morning with the sun shining partially, maybe in a crisis, maybe having just faced a crisis or just coming through a crisis or coming to the end of a crisis. Maybe something in you or around you has broken. But whatever page that you're on this morning, your crisis is not your conclusion. Jesus is turning the page. So, let's just turn to the book of Acts, and let me give you very brief background here. Stephen, one of the early followers of Jesus, has just been brutally murdered on the streets of Jerusalem. The church is grieving, and Acts chapter 8 and verse 1 says, Saul approved of their killing him. That's Stephen. And on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. So Stephen is murdered in cold blood on the streets of Jerusalem, this follower of Christ. And his death is like a spark that lights a fuse across Jerusalem. And a furious firestorm of persecution ignites against the people of God, against the church of Christ in Jerusalem. This is how Luke, in his book of Acts, describes it. A great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. A great persecution. It's the only time in the whole New Testament we find this phrase together, a great persecution. This is major. This is organized. It's a severe outbreak of hostility against the community of believers. It is sudden. There's no time to think. There's no time to regroup. There's no space to plan. And the hostility, which up until now in the book of Acts has only really affected a few of the leaders of the church, now breaks upon the whole church. The whole church is engulfed in this fierce, hostile persecution. Have you, or maybe are you, going through a season where everything seemed normal and suddenly you're engulfed in a crisis? It maybe happened in the same day, it maybe happened overnight, and you're unable maybe at the moment even to process what's happening. It's like a whirlwind that's caught you up. And if that's you, you know that feeling of being in a sudden crisis. The ground gives way. The world keeps moving. And you try, by God's grace, to stay standing. And that's exactly where the church in Jerusalem was. They were faced with this firestorm of persecution. And the scripture says they scattered. They fled, many of them, to these outlying areas called Judea and Samaria. And we pick up the story in Acts chapter 8 and verse 3. And it says, the persecution doesn't finish because of the scattering of these believers. Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. Saul began to destroy the church. This has become personal now. A young, zealous Jewish leader, convinced that the followers of Jesus are dangerous, takes the lead in persecution. His name is Saul. And the language that's used about this other wave that comes in now is the word destroy. Saul began to destroy the church. The language here is wartime language. It was a language that was used during wartime of devastating a place. And there is a shockwave that reverberates across Jerusalem. It's a rampage of destruction. House to house, men and women dragged to prison. See, Luke doesn't gloss over this. This is brutal. This is invasive. This is violent. It's ugly. And Luke wants us to feel that. Real families, real fear, real dark, ancient prison cells. And for some of us, when we find ourselves in a crisis, the question sometimes we ask maybe is a question of why, but you know, I think so often the question we ask is a how question. How am I going to cope with this? How am I going to get through this? How am I going to just live daily with what I'm facing? And maybe that's you this morning. in the firestorm, just trying to stand by the grace of God. I want you to hear this morning. You are not alone. You are not abandoned. You are deeply, deeply loved. The God who didn't spare his own son is with you in the fire. So this morning, if you find yourself in this furnace, don't carry it in silence. Open up, speak to a trusted friend, speak to a trusted leader or pastor. Don't wait to feel strong. So often we do that. We wait till we're just strong enough to be able to open up. But just take the next faithful step Christ is calling you to, and hold on to Jesus, remembering this, that your crisis is not your conclusion. Jesus is turning the page. So how can we be so sure of that this morning, that Jesus is turning the page in our lives, that the crisis doesn't become the conclusion? Because Jesus has been there first. The cross looked like the final full stop on Good Friday. But God turned the page on Sunday morning. Hallelujah. The resurrection of Jesus changed everything. This is what Rebecca McLaughlin said. Suffering is not the wrecking ball that knocks Christianity down, but rather suffering is the cornerstone on which, painfully, brick by brick, Christianity has always been built. Jesus turns the page. Acts chapter 8 and verse 4 continues with the story. And those who had been scattered, those who had fled, preached the word wherever they went. So what did Jesus do with the church's crisis? Well, Saul sought to silence the church. But friends, the gospel cannot be silenced. Driven from their homes, these Christians, everywhere they went, they preached Christ. Now, let me tell you something. Self-preservation was not on their menu. If we were maybe in a modern-day world advising them, we'd maybe say, well, just be a little bit quieter. Just be a little bit less loud. Just keep your opinions to yourself and don't maybe speak too publicly about Jesus. They open their mouths and declare Christ wherever they go. And this, amazingly, was totally opposite to what Saul's strategy was. Saul was seeking to destroy the church, but God used the very persecution that Saul brought to scatter and spread the church. And God expands the mission of the church by scattering it. And the amazing thing is this: if this was your evangelism strategy, would you have come up with this idea? This was never the church's idea, but it was God's. It was God's. And so where have you been scattered this morning? Into a job that you didn't choose? Into a diagnosis that you didn't expect? Into a season that you never would have chosen, you never would have picked. Even there, even in those places, the light of Christ can shine and shine through you. And the darker the place, the brighter the light shines. So will you let him? Will you let Christ shine in those dark places of your life? Because there's no story here this morning that's finished. Not the church's story, hallelujah. Not our family's story, hallelujah. And let me tell you this morning, certainly not your story. The risen Christ who turned the page for the early church is turning it still today, now, in this room, in your life. However dark the chapter, whatever page you're on this morning, remember, the pen is still in the Master's hands. He's the one writing the story. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we share so many common experiences with so many others throughout the whole ages, and crisis is nothing new. I thank you this morning that you are the God, not of the full stop, but the God of the comma, the God who continues to write our story, even when we feel it can't be written anymore. It's too messed up. And Lord our God, we pray this morning, let your Holy Spirit bring strength, bring steadiness. Remember the old Scottish preacher turned around to the woman in the congregation as she took the cup of wine during communion. She was in a terrible state. The minister could see it in her face. And he said to her, "Take a drink, lassie. Christ has died for you." So may we drink this morning from the reservoir of your strength, Lord Jesus, in your glorious and precious name.